Welcome back to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. As we mentioned earlier in the show, the North American International Auto Show opens to the public this Saturday. But amidst the shiny cars and the excitement of the auto show, there is a dark underside. With all of these visitors coming to Detroit, sex is being bought and sold. And that opens a much-needed conversation about the horrors of human trafficking happening right here in Michigan. Teresa Flores heads the group SOAP, Save Our Adolescents from Prostitution. And once again, Teresa and her volunteers have reached out in hopes of helping the young victims of human trafficking. And this is more than just a cause for Teresa Flores. As a teenager growing up in Michigan in affluent Birmingham, she became the young victim of human trafficking as part of a sex ring. Teresa Flores joins us from her home in Ohio. Teresa, put us all on the same page. When you talk about human trafficking, exactly what are we talking about?
Well, anytime you force somebody, manipulate them or blackmail them into any form of commercial sex or labor, that's human trafficking. The other part of it that a lot of people don't realize is that if you're under the age of 18 and you're involved in any form of commercial sex, even if, you know, it doesn't seem as if they're being forced, it's automatically human trafficking. So there really is no such thing as teen prostitution in our country because we don't feel that kids have their, you know it all to make those kind of decisions to be involved in that.
And you are proof that human trafficking can ensnare just about anyone's teenager. If you will, share your story with us. You grew up in Birmingham.
Yep, ran track and was, you know, pretty involved. Went to the football games and just, you know, a normal kid with two parents and not abused or run. I wasn't a runaway. I didn't do drugs. Just a normal kid and was targeted by a group of guys in my high school. And just, you know, one of the guys particularly just spent a lot of time being nice to me and, you know, saying I was pretty and offering to hold my books and help me with homework. And one day he offered me a ride home from school. And, you know, here I am, a 15-year-old girl, and have a crush on him by now and
sure.
Didn't think anything of it. I was very excited. And unfortunately, he didn't take me home. He took me to his house, which was in Southfield, and proceeded to drug me and then raped me. And if that wasn't bad enough, a few days later he came to me and said, you know, my older cousins were there as well, and they've taken these pictures, and they want you to earn them back or else.
Wow.
Mm-hmm,
so
yeah.
The or else was you had to be with the cousins?
Oh, yeah. You know, very many people over the course of 2 years, they would call my room, my house in the middle of the night and, you know, tell me I needed to come immediately, and they would deliver me to very beautiful houses all around Birmingham, Farmington Hills, Rochester, wherever, and then take me back home around 4 in the morning, and I would kind of sneak back inside and go to bed for a few hours and get up for school the next day, and nobody had any idea.
Okay. As the mother of a teenage girl, and you know I have to ask this, how could you not go to your parents to say, help, what was going on?
Well, my dad worked a lot. He traveled a lot and had a very, very big job, made a lot of money. And these guys said, you know, if you don't do what we say, we're going to show these pictures to your dad's boss. All right, we know where he works. This is the address of his building. This is the name of his boss. We'll show them to your dad. We'll post them around school. And we'll, you know, even give them to the priests at church. So
yeah.
To me, you know, I really was thinking I was just going to do whatever they asked, which I didn't even know what it was,
mm-hmm.
a couple times and it'd be over. But that wasn't the way it worked out. And then as things progressed, they would, you know, threatened to kill my brothers and my family. So this is what's got a lot worse.
And this went on for how long?
2 years.
So pretty much through your high school?
Yeah, until we moved my senior year of high school.
And that's how you got away?
Yep.
Wow. Now, as you're telling me this, my heart is dropping. Were you ever able to follow up? Was your trafficker caught and was he punished?
No, they still live there in the area.
When you were being called out on your rounds at 4 a.m. and getting that phone call and they were taking you places. Who were these customers? Were they other kids? Were they old people? Who were the customers?
And they were not kids. They were probably, you know, in their 20s up to maybe 50s, all within this group of people. But, you know, just men of every age.
Men of every age. And where would you meet them? Would you be at their homes? Would you be at hotels? Where would they take you?
Initially, I didn't go to any hotels. I was always taken to people's homes, private residences that were very, very nice, and taken usually downstairs to, like, finished basement areas, where there'd be a bedroom. On one particular night, they switched things up, and they kidnapped me, basically, and they took me to a motel in the inner city of Detroit.
It absolutely breaks my heart thinking of you as this 15- and 16-year-old girl, that you mm-hmm. were so locked in the fear that they set up around you that you couldn't tell a teacher or a classmate. So really, yeah. No one knew?
No, I think there definitely were signs. You know, there definitely were times where, you know, I was falling asleep in class. These mm-hmm. older guys were around me a lot, really making me intimidated. You could definitely tell something was going on. But, I mean, even one time in class, there was a teacher, and I was, you know, going into class, and the two of the guys who were trafficking me, the older guys, had said, you know, you need to come now. And I was like, I've got class. And they're just like, we don't care. And they're like, you know, really grabbing my arm and saying, you're leaving now. And the teacher was like, she has class. And they're like, she's coming with us. And she was like, okay. She, you know, this teacher was very intimidated by these guys, too. So, okay. Yeah.
If you're just joining us, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, talking with Teresa Flores from the group SOAP, Save Our Adolescents from Prostitution. She was a young victim of human trafficking and now works to stop human trafficking, including at the North American International Auto Show this week in Detroit. Once you moved away, how did mm-hmm. the recovery begin? And was there a conversation with your parents at any point then to say, here's what's been going on?
It took many years. It took about 5 years for me to kind of put all the pieces together. I do remember calling the police a couple years after when I was in college and kind of was thinking, you know, this was wrong and this, they should, you know, they're probably doing it to someone else now. And so I called the police and they're like, you know, we really can't help you. You're not here. This is, you know, years later, you know, sorry. And so I just kind of shoved it away again, and then a few years later happened to talk to my mom and dad about. But again, it was kind of one of those things, well, just kind of, you know, that was horrible, but go on with your life.
Wow. It strikes me that just about every bit of what might be a safety net wasn't there for you.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't have a good support network, even though I had loving parents. I didn't have aunts and uncles or teachers that, you know, saw change because I was new there. So I was, you know, the perfect vulnerable kid.
What do parents need to watch for?
Sure. Kids making a change in their behavior and hanging around different groups of kids, maybe a lot older kids, older boys, not really being able to account for where they're going, and maybe starting to do drugs. Their grades are dropping. They're always tired. But those are things that, you know, sound like a kid that's an at-risk kid in trouble, too. So it's really tough.
Especially if the child is afraid, as you were, and isn't going to give that information up. So what conversations do parents need to have with their sons and daughters?
Really telling your daughters that they're pretty every day, you know. It's okay to do that, especially for fathers to tell them that, or some male figure in their life. Because that way, when these pimps approach them in the mall and tell them that, it's not going to be any big deal for them to hear that. That's essential, is giving them good self-esteem. And really, for boys, we want boys to see women as an equal, as, you know, looking at another girl as it potentially could be his sister, you know, and mm-hmm. treating girls with respect.
Now it's your mission as the head of Save Our Adolescents from Prostitution to try to keep this from happening to other children, and you are, and your volunteers coming to the auto show. And tell us, how do you intervene? How do you try to reach these young victims?
Well, unlike my situation, many of them now do go to the motels. There, a lot of them are runaways, or they get tricked and, you know, by these smooth-talking guys to come out with them, and then they drug them, and they put them up on Backpage.com or other sites, and they sell them, and they take them to hotels where they have guys come all night long. And anytime there's a large amount of people coming to a city, we see a spike in those ads. These pimps who are traffickers bring in girls from all around the country. Hmm. And every survivor that I've spoken to has been taken through Detroit at some point. And so we make it our mission to go out to cities, particularly around big events, not because of the event, but because these traffickers are opportunists.
Sure.
And looking to make money.
So you go to the motels and hotels, and you're handing mm-hmm. out soap. What's the importance of the bars of soap, Teresa Flores?
Well, when I was taken and kidnapped and left in that motel room, I went to the bathroom afterwards and I washed up. And it was the only time I was able, you know, to be alone and to think. And so on a night when I was leaving Detroit after doing a talk there, I had a flashback, and I just kind of realized that that's where we need to reach out to these girls, is in that bathroom. And on the bars of soap, it says, are you being threatened to do something against your will? Are you able to leave? Are you witnessing young girls being prostituted? If so, call this number. And it has the National Human Trafficking Hotline number on it.
And if someone is able to get away and make that call, what happens mm-hmm. then? Let's say someone's listening right now to us.
Sure.
And they're here. First of all, what is that hotline number? Because somebody may be listening and want to make the call.
Yeah, it's 1-888-3737-888.
3737-888. Now, here's the question. What happens when they make the call? How can a child be taken away safely, and how do they get away?
Well, it goes to an organization called the Polaris Project in Washington, D.C. It's manned 24 hours a day. It's in, like, 28 languages. And they know locally who's been trained. So if they know, you know, for instance, Oakland County Sheriff's Department has been trained in this, that's who they're going to call. If they know of a shelter or an organization that is, you know, equipped to taking victims immediately, then that's who they'll call. Or, you know, if it's a really bad situation, they'll call 911 and they'll get that girl the help that she needs to immediately.
Meaning showing up at the ABC motel or hotel at that spot, and she can say, I'm in room 256, and there they
are. Exactly. Yep, exactly.
And getting them out of there. In mm-hmm. 2010, the Michigan Women's Foundation found that in Michigan alone, about as many as 160 girls were being sold for sex online or through escort services. Mm-hmm. Do you think that number is too high, too low?
No, and that's on any given day, because I do monitor those things as well. Mm. So if you think of 160 girls and women being sold on any given day, during an event like this that's coming to the city, it quadruples. So you're talking, you know, hundreds and hundreds of girls every night being sold on there.
What about boys?
Boys are 20%. We do see this in boys as well. It's just really hard to rescue them. And I know of only one organization in the whole United States that helps boys survive, and it's actually in Michigan.
And you've been doing this for a while now. How many years have you come to the auto show?
This was our second year to come.
Okay.
So we've been doing soap for 3 years. And next week we go to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. And last year we got out, I think, 15 cases of soap, which is 15,000 bars of soap. And this past weekend we got out probably about 40,000 bars.
And did you have any success stories when you came to Detroit last year?
Oh, yeah. We had a couple girls that were recognized immediately by motel staff that were on the missing children's list.
So you talk to the motel staff as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All the volunteers are loaded up with soap and missing children posters, and they head on out to the motels and have a conversation with them. They educate them, and they're looking for missing kids, and we just give the soap free to the motels.
What is it that an average citizen could or should do, Teresa, to fight back against human trafficking?
Really, awareness is key. Getting speakers to come in to their church, to their organization, if they're in a civic club or their kid's school, and saying, we need to know about this. This is the second leading crime in the world, and no one's really talking about it. And this is unacceptable. So really, awareness and education is key. And then just really, you know, starting to be nosy neighbors again, you know, the time when Aunt Bees were living next door. And it's okay to look out for each other and to talk to each other. And it's just, we need to get back to that kind of a society.
And Teresa, what would your call to action be to legislators and law enforcement? Because it makes me wonder, based on the response that you got when you called the police to report your situation after the fact, it was kind of a ho-hum approach. How responsive are they to this?
They're getting better. Again, we're having to educate law enforcement and legislation that this is something that we really do need some strong laws against. Michigan has a pretty good law. They have prosecuted quite a few traffickers, actually. But they're attempting right now to pass a bill called the Safe Harbor Law, where it means that you can't arrest a kid for prostitution. And that's really important, because a lot of times people look at these kids and say, oh, they're just, you know, they just want to do that. They're just being a prostitute. And that's not true. Nobody wants to have sex with 15 strangers every night. She just doesn't know how to get out and doesn't know how to tell anybody. So really, passing that law would be key.
Teresa, what would you say to your traffickers if you could talk to them face-to-face right now, today?
Wow. Oh, man. I don't know. That's a really good question. Maybe why me?
Yeah.
Were there others?
Teresa Flores of Save Our Adolescents from Prostitution, SOAP, and as part of the group's efforts to fight human trafficking, SOAP is next heading to the Super Bowl in New Orleans, January 25th and 26th. You can learn more, including ways to volunteer, by going to their website, which is trafficfree.com, and that's TRAFFICKFREE. And we have put a link for that site up for you at michiganradio.org. Teresa, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.